Good evening, one and all, and welcome to the Peace Alliance's National Field Call for the month of February. My name is Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator for the Peace Alliance, and we're so glad to have you all with us. We've got a very exciting call, as usual. I'm first going to go over the agenda for the call, and then we'll get into some very exciting stuff. So in a moment, I'm going to introduce Pat Simon, who's a state coordinator in Massachusetts, and she's going to introduce our special guest, Jerry Kennedy. We'll hear from Jerry, and then we'll have a chance for question and answers from her and discussion with her and other folks. Then we're going to have some little bit of guided, grounding, meditative time, along with some thought-provoking questions with Kendra Mann. And then we're going to go from the personal into the political. Arguably, it's all personal and it's all political, but we're going to go into the more overtly political with Nancy Merritt offering some guidance on the season for nonviolence and some suggested action for this month. I want to make a note that all of you on the call should have received three documents in your email inbox about an hour ago. So I apologize. I had to make a second email because in the first email, one of the attachments was not effective. But I would encourage you, if you've got computer access, to access that email and those attachments at some point in the next half an hour so that you can go over those when Kendra and then Nancy may refer to them. So now I'd like to introduce Pat Simon, who's been a dedicated and devoted, kind and committed advocate and activist for peace since I've known her, which goes back to about 2006. Pat has been a state coordinator for Massachusetts for the Department of Peace campaign, which is now the Department of Peacebuilding campaign, and she's also an active member of the National Committee for Department of Peacebuilding. Welcome, Pat.
Thank you, Dan. Welcome to the call. We hoped that Alan Johnson would host this discussion. Unfortunately, brain cancer took his life on Christmas Eve. He was mentor, guide, and friend to me and to the Massachusetts campaign for a Department of Peace. We are committed to sharing his wisdom on the violence inherent in our social structure in the work for change. As a sociologist, Johnson wrote on issues of violence for 40 years, then moved to men's violence against women. The gender knot unraveling our patriarchal legacy is the basis for our discussion this evening. Patriarchy, he said, is nothing less than the root cause of men's violence, functioning as an instrument of control in the enactment of a patriarchal manhood. From individual to state-sanctioned violence, it really is that simple. Stopping men's violence without challenging the idea of manhood is not possible. Men have to decide what matters to them most, their manhood or peace. End quote. Jerry Kennedy, an activist in women and religion and affiliate of the Unitarian Universalist Association, first became aware of Johnson's work shortly after the publication of The Gender Knot, and she's been working hard to spread the word ever since. Jerry will speak briefly about her work with Alan Johnson. Jerry Kennedy, welcome.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm really happy to talk to this group and sort of spread the word even further out. I knew how I became to know Alan Johnson was shortly after the Gender Knot book was published. One of the other women in our Women in Religion group, the Unitarian Women in Religion, came to one of our meetings, and she was totally excited, and she says, "This man really gets it. We've got to all read this book." And so from there, several of the women, including Rosemary Mattson and Barbara Schonborn, thought that it would be a good idea to write a curriculum so that there would be a course study that would be available to look into the all of the issues that he brings up in his book. We brought him, the Unitarians have an annual meeting every year called General Assembly, and I'm pretty sure it was like in about 2001 we were able to bring Alan Johnson out as one of the speakers. And it took a little bit of work, but we were able to convince the bookstore that's always there on site to buy a bunch of his books. I told them that they would certainly sell out. and they weren't really sure about that, but they bought the books. His talk was standing room only. He went to the bookstore for signings afterward, and they quickly sold out of all of the books. So it was very well received. So what I'd like to do is just sort of talk about my interpretation of Alan's work on the patriarchal system. And it is a system, and it's a pervasive social system that we as human beings have inherited over many millennia. We personally didn't particularly create it, but we participated in it, whether willingly or not, and whether knowingly or not. It is so deeply rooted in our modern societies, and it's a detriment for both women and men. If we consider society's norms, especially for boys and men, we tell them, boys don't cry. The phrase man up, which I really dislike, is very sadly popular right now. And coaches use language like, you throw like a girl, and so much more. And we do so much to tamp down men's natural feelings and cause them to become more and more part of the accepted system. Our language, of course, is skewed male. Guys can mean, you know, can be interpreted to mean everyone in a room, perhaps. Of course, if you were in a room with mixed people and you said, well, all the guys stand up, I doubt that all the people would stand up. Probably just the men would stand up. We talk about manning the table, manning our sales booth. Generally, we use the masculine to include everyone. And there's fortunately a great deal of progress in that area when it comes to various legal documents and some titles. You know, we now have postal carriers, and we talk about firefighters so that we're not just referring to everyone as male. I was at a seminar last weekend, and the speaker, a man, said something about an issue being between him and his doctor. Well, the leader of that seminar just stopped his talk right there in front of everyone and pointed out that it could be her doctor and a she. And there was a chuckle, but the point was made. So, sadly, progress is really slow, especially in the legislative and in the business world. And this is especially true here in the heart of Silicon Valley. I'm happening to be in Northern California in the San Francisco Bay Area. And the tech world is especially male-dominated. There's a lot of emphasis, however, in the schools on encouraging girls to take up STEM, which stands for science, technology, engineering, and math, to try and break through some of those barriers. Authoritarian societies throughout the world nearly always work to keep women, quote, safe. That counts from having them to wear a burqa to female genital mutilation and keeping education for girls to a minimum. Johnson says we are bound up in a gender knot of fear, anger, pain, guilt, defensiveness, power struggle, and confusion. All of that has to do with that patriarchal system. So it's human nature to follow the path of least resistance, and it took a lot of courage for that woman to speak up at the seminar. Granted, she is a very outspoken woman and happened to be president of the organization sponsoring the seminar, but even still, she opened herself up for possible derision. I mean, don't we all know that he meant men and women both? So today, there's a major backlash against the progress that's being made by women. And we all need to pay attention to it. In spite of the millions of women who are marching and protesting, reproductive rights are being eroded. Women who speak up about abuse are doubted, and excuses are made for some of the men involved. And the saddest of all, at least for me personally, is that so much of this erosion is coming from the top, the top people in our country. Well, as with all systems in need of change, the first step is to recognize and acknowledge that the system, this system of patriarchy, actually exists, and to somehow find a pathway to interrupt and change the system, something that would be more egalitarian, and not to follow the path of least resistance. Change is hard and change is frightening, and those in power very seldom want to relinquish any of that power. The ways to interrupt the system have to be found so that it will be disrupted, and we will otherwise we'll just continue this same pattern, which includes so much war and so much violence. There are things to consider in areas that could benefit from change. Economics is one. One thing that is looked at is why all work isn't acknowledged and valued, and that would include things that are often referred to as women's work, caregiving, volunteering, housekeeping. All of those, if they're paid at all, are paid very low wages. We need, as a society, a world, we need to stop valuing war. The problem is, from an economic standpoint, that war makes money. And the gun and weapon manufacturers and the people who build the fighter airplanes and the ships want all those contracts. And we need to look at the waste of war and think about, try to point out where all of those monies could be used to so much more benefit for the world and as a whole. I've been thinking about this. This isn't Alan Johnson, but I think that sometimes the economics of disaster recovery are partly why our government isn't so concerned with climate change. Because, you know, when we have all those hurricanes and all of the floods, there's lots of economic value that comes after that for all the rebuilding. They don't look at the human suffering that's involved. And the patriarchal system is simply, it has a drive for everything to be better and larger and more competitive performance on all levels. And it encourages us, men especially, to organize their lives around control. And when control is at the center, it's really hard to settle for merely being a part of something or for witnessing someone else's powerful experience. If she can do something that he can't, the patriarchal offers him three paths of least resistance. And what Alan says is the thing that keeps the system in place is that all of us follow the path of least resistance most often. So the man can devalue what the woman does. He can find a way to control what she's doing that he wasn't able to do, or he can just feel lousy about himself. And this is the systemic thinking that really needs to be broken. If we're all able to step up and go against the path of least resistance, just as the woman in the seminar did, it chips away at the system itself, even in little tiny bits. And, you know, we all have to look for the signs of really slow change, and we're seeing it somewhere in spite of everything. I'd like to close reading this one paragraph out of another book that Alan Johnson wrote, which is called Privilege, Power, and Difference. He says, "The human capacity to choose how to participate in the world empowers all of us to pass along something different from what's been passed to us. With each strand of the knot of privilege that we help to work loose and unravel, we don't act simply for ourselves. We join a process of creative resistance to oppression that's been unfolding for thousands of years. We become a part of the long tradition of people who have dared to make a difference, to look at things as they are, to imagine something better, and to plant seeds of change in themselves, in others, and in the world. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you so much, Jerry. This is Dan again. I want to encourage folks who have a question for Jerry or for Pat, if you have something that you want to add to the conversation, you can raise your hand by pressing number 1 on your phone keypad. So press the number 1 on your keypad, and I'll see that as a hand raise, and I can call on you. I'm scanning. Oh, there's a hand raise. Oh, it's Kendra. Just a moment. Okay, Kendra, your mic is open.
Hi, Jerry, this is really provocative for sure, making me think. And it reminds me of the women's movement saying that we needed to change the language. And in the peace movement, we're trying to change the language, but we haven't thought about the patriarchy. But I wondered, too, about men and what he thought about or taught about the effects of patriarchy on men.
I think that Alan's main concept about the effect for men is how it's really bad for them. You know, that patriarchy pushes them to be something that's really against human nature. And that by having to live in this society, it could really be harder for men than we think, but they have to keep it up because there's so much pressure to be a man, you know, that they can't really live their own lives the way they might want to, whether that's conscious or not conscious.
Thanks, Kendra. Did you have a follow-up to that, or was that all you wanted?
No, I really thank you very much, Jerry. I didn't have a follow-up.
Okay, thanks, Kendra. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation with a question or a comment, you can press 1 on your keypad. Oh, I see Nancy has her hand up. Nancy Merritt, your mic is open.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. I just wondered if what kind of suggestions Alan had for going on, sort of going beyond being a man. What kind of suggestions does he make to men?
I think that did everyone receive the page that Pat sent around called "What Can We Do"?
Yes,
Pat,
did
that go? Yes. Those are really good suggestions, and in his book he expands on all of those. And mostly it's, you know, part of it is to dare to make people feel uncomfortable. And when you see something, don't take that path of least resistance, you know, speak up. And I know personally that can be hard. I know I sat through many meetings where the male pronoun was used when it meant everyone, and I would bring it up, and people would say, "Oh, there goes Jerry again," you know. And so it's really hard, but like Alan says, if you take little steps, just the little steps, it kind of wakes people up and has them think about it. It's things like one of those award shows for movies and things where they were listing the people who were getting the producer of the year, and the woman who was announcing said, "And notice they're all men." It's waking up society that we all need to take a look at. And I would strongly encourage you to read through the What We Can Do page, because it's got some pretty good suggestions.
Again, you press 1 on your keypad if you have a question or if you want to add a comment. Oh, it looks like Pat wants to speak up. Pat, your mic is still unmuted. Go ahead.
Okay. Jean Baker Miller wrote a book called Toward a New Psychology of Women. She was a psychiatrist, and she wrote it in 1975, and she found in her clinical experience the enormous impact of the social structure on human development, on the very development of human beings. So that was, she was very early to say something like that, but that's a terrific book to be reading. It's a kind of a gentle way into this. I don't think she ever mentions the word patriarchy, but it's a wonderful, wonderful step in getting to understanding the patriarchy. And it's called Toward a New Psychology of Women, and it's a Beacon Press publication.
For that, Pat. There's currently no waiting. If you have a thought or a question that you want to add into the conversation, you just press 1 on your keypad, and happy to welcome you.
Hello?
Hi, yeah. Go ahead, Nancy. You're still open.
Well, I don't know. I find that every day after I read the paper or listen to the news, I'm really frustrated. And I don't know if you have any suggestions for us, Jerry, beyond or including what Alan said, but especially recent things that have happened in the White House and the two aides that resigned and people defending the men and not believing them women. I don't know. I just find that really frustrating.
I agree. I think, like I said in earlier, there's a backlash right now. But if we look at it from a positive standpoint, if that's possible, the reason there's a backlash, I think, is because women are starting to make changes. We're starting to make inroads. We're starting to get children in other countries educated beyond the 5th or 6th grade. And it's scary. It's scary for the society when they start to see that changes are happening. More and more people are speaking out, and just being at, one of the women's marches is just so encouraging. I see dads and with their little girls and their signs, and it makes me think that there really is some hope. I mean, when you've got something that's been in place for this long, it's not going to change over time. And, the things that we do today, we might not see the results of them in our own lifetime, but every little piece helps. So, we need to do a good job of writing letters to the editor and saying, hey, did you notice that in your newspaper you had 0 articles today about anything having to do with women's issues? It was all men, men, men. So pointing these things out, just kind of raises consciousness.
Thank you. I thank you both. I want to point out that what we have planned is a highly inclusive and sort of participatory time, and Kendra is planning to guide folks in some meditation and some questioning that will likely lead to some further discussion. As sort of the next section. I see someone else has their hand raised, but I also just wanted to mention that there's going to be more opportunity for folks to share and discuss in a little while after some contemplation and focus with Kendra. Carol, go ahead. Your mic is open.
Hello?
Yeah.
You can hear me. Well, I just would like to say if I wasn't aware of Alan Johnson before someone invited me to this conversation, and he sounds like a wonderful person. I'm sorry I wasn't able to follow him all along the way, but I'm sorry for his passing. But I've always said about the women's movement that from the beginning, it's what it lacked was having the spiritual realm as a basis. And why I say that is because we, especially in the United States, Christianity has been, at least for a long time, the dominant religion here. And we have a lot of conservative people who think very intensely that the male should be dominating people. And just in the last couple of days, I've listened to a conversation by Edgar Cayce, or from Edgar Cayce's teachings. And he talks about how in the beginning, before human beings actually inhabited the earth, they were spirits. And they were all equal, and they were androgynous. And they eventually realized, well, God, they claim, or he claims, and after listening to everything that that man knew, he was a phenomenal person and very unusual. And I think that we need to, so God apparently realized that people were lonely here because they were androgynous and separate from each other. And so he decided, or she, or it, decided that we should, that they should change to men and women, and the men would be the strong ones, and the women would be the gentle and good ones who would take care of the children properly because they're very delicate, babies are. And men have had a hard time, and especially our men, because they're so male and masculine and tough that they don't really understand the delicacy of some of these babies. And it's only the men who are using their feminine principles are beginning to adopt some of those gentler ways. So I think that considering the spiritual realm, along with what the feminine is and the masculine, could bring a little more easier transition for men and perhaps women as well. And that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Does anyone move to comment or respond to anything that Carol brought up? Okay, well, how about if we transition then. I think, Jerry, I want to thank you for your time with us and say you're more than welcome to stay with us for as much of the rest of the call as you would like, but we also understand if your schedule does not permit that, we can, of course, free to take your leave whenever you need to. So I'll say thank you so much for spending time with us, and I'll turn this over to Pat to sort of say a more final thank you and perhaps farewell to you. Pat?
Jerry, thank you so much. I really look forward to keeping in touch with you, even though we've met in the past. It's a long time ago. And so I really look forward to keeping in touch. And your presentation was just exactly what we need. Thank you so much.
Well, you're more than welcome. And I think I will stay on the line for at least a little while and listen in.
Great.
Okay. So Kendra, your mic is still open, and now over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan and Jerry and Pat. So what we're going to do next, I invite you to join me in a short guided meditation in the restorative justice movement. We talk about speaking and listening from the heart. So this connection practice, the shortened version of the connection practice, comes from Rita Marie Johnson, who originated this whole concept of the connection practice. So in order to speak and listen from the heart, we need to energize our heart wisdom, and this is how we do it. So if you are able to sit in a way that's straight and with your feet planted down on the ground, your spine straight, your head pushed back a little bit over your shoulders, so that you have a straight spine, and then begin breathing what I call the deep belly breath. And breathe in slowly to the count of five or so. And breathe out slowly. The next breath, breathe in and imagining that your breath is going in through your heart. And on the exhale, imagine that the breath is coming out through your heart. And as you do this, imagine that your heart is becoming more energized. Perhaps that comes out in the form of light or heat. Gradually filling your body. So that you are a beacon of love connecting to all the others on this call around the country. Connecting to all the peace builders, prayers, meditation, people of every spirituality and no spirituality who care about this planet and all of the beings connected with it. So that we are spreading heart energy all the way around the planet. And let us use that heart energy for the remainder of this call. And next, I'd like to put some of that heart energy into practice by asking us all to listen to our hearts. And what I'm hoping for is that we could just have the all be unmuted and think about, as an earlier caller said, Nancy, all the frustration she feels. I think there are many emotions that pass through us as news continues about the injustices in our society. And so I'm asking if, with all of us unmuted, could we just think about those emotions and just, like popcorn style, name some of those emotions that we have felt about this news.
I'd say sadness.
I didn't hear you.
Sadness.
Sadness.
Frustration.
Helplessness.
Hope. What was the last one?
Despair.
Okay.
Disappointment.
Fury.
Grief.
Mm-hmm. determination.
Perseverance.
Hope.
Gratitude.
Encouragement.
Determination.
Community.
Friendship.
Okay, well, thank you. But wait, I missed. Go ahead, say that last one.
Gratitude.
A sense of possibility for hearts to open and people to become more connected.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that we feel a lot of different feelings, and probably some of them all at the same time, or one after another as they flow through us. And so I'm wondering also if you could, if you can imagine how would a society look? What would a society look like that was no longer patriarchal? What would a society look like that helped people heal their wounds, that helped people heal their wounds? And I ask that because many people have said that that the first hurdle in creating change is to imagine it. So I think we need to imagine how our society could be different. Any thoughts about, go ahead.
Thrive comes to mind. It would be one where everyone thrived.
Everyone is respected and encouraged.
Everyone's equal, and we don't have, like, some people are more equal than others, but everyone's equal.
Where we work for consensus rather than a majority.
People take time with each other.
Where we collaborate rather than compete.
We listen instead of trying to answer.
There wouldn't be reason for bullying and meanness.
Hearts would be open.
We comfort rather than shame.
And the natural environment, our natural world becomes more connected with us, or we become more connected with it.
There will be calm instead of chaos.
Where we have choice rather than shoulds or rules.
Instead of focusing on war, we focus on growing people.
We focus on the wholeness of a person and not parts.
Right. Mm-hmm. Refrain from judging.
I'm really appreciating this, and I'm watching the clock at the same time, so I'm going to thank you very much for helping me envision that society and helping us all do that. The mission of the Peace Alliance is to create a culture of peace, and we need everyone's help to imagine it into being. One branch of our work is to advocate for a cabinet level United States Department of Peace Building and a U.S. Peace Academy. And I'm asking Nancy Merritt, who you met earlier on the call, she's our Peace Alliance lead for the effort to create the Department of Peace Building. And she's going to talk to you now about how you can help.
Thank you, Kendra. Thank you all for that last exercise. That was that's the kind of stuff that the Department of Peace Building anticipates and why we're advocating for it. Right now is the season for nonviolence, and during the season for nonviolence and preventing systemic violence and the Department of Peace Building are all very much connected. Season for Nonviolence is January 30th to April 4th, which is the dates between the death of Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King. And the Department of Peacebuilding campaign honors these and other proponents of nonviolence by using this 64-day period to seek more co-sponsors for the Department of Peacebuilding bill. The Season for Nonviolence is internationally recognized, and you can find a lot more information about it on www.agnt.org. This is the Association for Global New Thought, and they have a lot of good suggestions and thoughts for each day, so that would be a good place to go if you need some inspiration. The Department of Peace Building, as many of you know, is a bill sponsored by Congresswoman Barbara Lee from the Oakland, California area. It currently has 37 co-sponsors, and among the Department of Peace Building bills responsibilities for domestic responsibilities, it lists supporting local community initiatives that draw on neighborhood resources to create peace projects that facilitate the development of conflict resolution and healing of societal wounds such as patriarchy, racism, war, manifest destiny, and economic injustice, to thereby inform and inspire national policy. So Martin Luther King said that nonviolence is the answer to the crucial political and moral questions of our time, the need for mankind to overcome oppression and violence without resorting to oppression and violence. As I said, we use this season to contact our members of Congress, and there's several ways you, everybody on this call, can help with that. On February 7th, we sent out a national e-blast about how you can contact your congressperson and ask them to co-sponsor, and it's pretty easy process. Is just filling out a petition online, and then the message will go to your congressperson and to some others. So that's one action you can take. So look at your February 7th emails. On the 24th of January, we sent out a national e-blast also asking for volunteers to help with our Season for Nonviolence 2018 team, and this team is a group of people who are going to go a little bit beyond contacting their own members to contacting, we have a list of other members, and so you can take a look at that, or you can just write to me, nancy@peacealliance.org, to volunteer for that team. And this is a really good time. If you have your sheet up, if you have your attachments that Dan sent you, there's an action sheet for Season for Nonviolence, and I'll go over it kind of generally. You can read a lot of it, but Dan, is it possible to ask people who have never contacted a member of Congress by phone or in person to press 1 on their keyboard? Is that?
Absolutely. Sure.
Okay. Okay, if you've never done this before, would you press 1 so we get a sense of, sort of how much detail we need to go into?
So if you've never contacted a member of Congress before, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. I'm not seeing anyone.
We have an experienced group. Well, that's good. This is an action for people who've never done it and for people who've contacted members of Congress a lot of times. So on that sheet, Season for Nonviolence sheet, there's a paragraph about calling, what you do when you call your member of Congress. And since all of you are such pros, I won't go over that in great detail, but basically you ask to speak to the legislative director or person in the office and who would be working on items like kind of peace building, and then once you get that person or their email or their phone message, then you leave your message about asking them to co-sponsor the bill. What I'm going to do is, on the flip side of that, there's a list of about 30 Congress people who we're focusing on. I'm not going to go over all of them, but they're there on the list with their phone numbers. And if you choose to do this, we welcome you to contact any or all of them or part of them or whichever ones you want from your region. So we would love for you to call and to follow that up with emails and then call again. You know, just keep checking during Season for Nonviolence if they got your message, if they've spoken with the congressperson and that kind of thing. We have a sample script on here. Does anybody have this up and would want to read the sample script?
So if we have a volunteer to read the sample script, you can go ahead and press 1, and or many of you are unmuted. I've muted people who had background noise, so if you're trying to speak and you're muted, you might have to press 1 for me to unmute you. Anybody have that script in front of you and willing to read it aloud just to have another voice?
I have it.
Okay.
Me?
Yeah, please go ahead.
The sample script is, my name is Deborah Paz. I'm a constituent, or I'm an individual who is concerned. I'm a constituent and an individual who is very concerned about the violence in this country and internally.
Internationally.
And I can also say, and I'm with the Peace Alliance, or I support the Peace Alliance. And the Department of Peacebuilding legislation, H.R. 1111, addresses the root causes of violence by researching solutions and promoting policies and programs that already work. It is cost-effective and will save lives and money. Please make peace a national priority by co-sponsoring this legislation. To do this, contact Maria Elena at Congresswoman Lee's office, Maria Elena.
Perfect. Thank you. Deborah is from Atlanta, and she's on our national committee, and she has had tons of experience doing this. So what she read is just a brief idea of what you could say to the person. If they're listening and want more information, you can add more, or you can follow it up with an email with more information. And we have some points down below in that email about what you what you might want to say. I was also thinking, in light of our call, you could add something like, and I think this is a suggestion from Karen Johnson. You could add to that, you could say something like, the Department of Peacebuilding legislation includes a reference to the inherent violence in our current patriarchal system. This is not solely about violence against women. A patriarchal system has stifling and violent sufferings for both men and women and impacts all aspects of inequality in our system. Both men and women are feeling that time's up today, and this bill is a roadmap for us to move into a system of governance that honors principles of equality and nonviolence in everything we do. I don't know. Maybe where are we on the agenda? Oh, actually, I probably need to move on. But in the next part, or if you think of any other ways you might want to say that or points you would want to emphasize to your members of Congress, I'd love to hear about it. And I really appreciate you all taking part in this, and I really hope you'll contact your Congress people, because we need to keep this idea alive, and we need to say that peace building is too precious to leave to fate or to ignore, and that this bill has a structure for us becoming a culture of peace. So thank you.
Thank you, Nancy and Kendra and Deborah and everyone who's contributed and just has joined us on this call. We have 6 minutes left, and we generally have time at the end of the call for shares from the field. So if anyone has news or updates or information about peace-building activities in your life, in your neighborhood, in your congressional district, this is a time when that would be welcome. And also, I think it could be positive thing just to, as Nancy said, if you want to use some of this time to share how you might phrase, how you might frame some of your advocacy for a Department of Peace Building in the context of this larger discussion that we've had tonight, or if you have any other comments or questions about the topics that were raised or the experiences that we've shared tonight, if you want to just share out what's on your heart, or if you have something to ask or say directly to Pat or Nancy or Kendra or Jerry, who is still with us. So, again, almost all of you are unmuted right now. I only muted the few lines that had background noise that I didn't want to interfere with the call. So you can just speak out, and if you're speaking out and you don't hear your own voice, it's because your line is muted, and you can press 1, and I'll unmute you so you can be heard.
Dan, this is Pat. I noticed that you have, as one of the resources, can you hear me, Dan?
Yes, I hear you, Pat.
One of your resources that you sent with this email was the curriculum, Unraveling the Gender Knot, Challenging the System That Binds Us. I've had experience doing workshops, including men, always include men. And this is a sample of a workshop that was based on Johnson's book. And Jerry had a lot to do with that, too. But it's a great workshop, and you can improvise on it and use it with a lot of different people. And it really works well. You can have one session or you can have 7 sessions. But that's on the mailing that Dan sent, and that could be sent out again. I have it also, so I could send it to people.
Thank you, Pat. Two people put their hands up. I've unmuted both of you. Have a first share, and then John after that.
Hi, this is Cher Graham in Mobile, Alabama. I wanted to apologize. I have not been on calls lately because for the past 18 months, we have been working very closely every week, becoming more concerned with calm and peace in our region through mental health and a mental awareness approach. So for the past 2 years, we've had conferences, and we now have monthly educational workshops to cover every topic that has to do with a community becoming whole and well again. And our goal is to become a trauma-informed community. So we are working hard to implement both traditional and holistic approaches at the beginning of our conferences and workshops to create a community of peace before we even talk about it. And I have to say that it has been energizing for those in attendance and for those who are in trauma. It has helped them walk a different approach. So I want to thank you for allowing me to participate and not have to do it, and it's always comforting. But thank you for all that you guys do in the peace-building efforts.
Thank you, Cher. How about we can hear from John and then Bobby Joe after that?
Hi, Dan. Thank you. I thought it would be good to hear a male voice on this teleconference. I don't think we have a patriarchal society anymore. I think things are changing rapidly. And I've been retired for about 19 years now. I belong to 11 different peace and justice groups. And out of those 11, seven are headed by women. And they're doing a wonderful job. So I think there's great hope for the future. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Bobby Joe?
So, hi, everyone. I'm actually really excited to share two things that we have on our schedule with the Center for Transformation and Change. A woman named Kathy Aubert has offered a three-hour virtual institute to our organizations in the Inland Empire here in California. And we are going to be hosting that at the San Bernardino Valley College, and it's about interrupting racism and dismantling racism and in meetings. So we're really excited about hosting that, and that came about because of our partnership with the Women's March and organizing, where many issues came up in just working with different and diverse groups. In sort of style and intention and sort of accidentally being really exclusive when we wanted as many folks as possible. So there's that project. And then I just, this weekend, the Revolutionary Love Project that I've posted in a couple of different places features a TED Talk and a call to tomorrow take a day of action to reclaim love and the love ethic to really bring full circle the movement and the sort of the social justice.
That's the word, very nicely.
Right. So I think it's, if you have a chance to take a look at that, the Revolutionary Love Project, and the hashtag tomorrow of reclaiming love, reclaim love. I'm really excited because coupled with this call has really helped me to reconnect. If that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, is because we are creating a community in peace, that beloved community that Martin Luther King talked about. But if it were easy or simple, we would already be there. So there is work for us to do, and there's a way to do it very joyfully. So thank you, everyone, for all that you do.
Thanks, Bobby Joe. So great to hear your voice. It makes me smile. We're just past the top of the hour. I'm going to turn it over to Pat in less than a minute to give us a closing quote. Before I do, I really want to thank you all for being with us. I've been really touched during this hour, and I really appreciate this time that we've had. And I also, I feel my responsibility to make a little pitch. If you like what we're doing at the Peace Alliance, and if you'd like to support what we're doing financially, if you're not already a member, I would encourage you to go to peacealliance.org and become a monthly contributing member or make a one-time donation. And if you are already a member and this has inspired you to cherish what we do even more, you might want to consider going online and raising your monthly donation just to give us that much extra financial love. So thank you all again for joining us. And I'm going to turn it over to Pat for a closing quote, and then I'll open everybody's mic so we can say goodnight. Pat?
Well, this is from Alan Johnson, that magnificent change agent. He said, it's like a swinging door. Once you've gone through it, there's no going back. That's what he felt about patriarchy, like a swinging door. Once you've gone through it, there's no turning back.
All right. Thank you, Pat. The mics are all open, so you can say good night or whatever you want to say to each other. And I wish you all the best.
Good night.
Thank you,
Good night.
Great to hear such a large turnout. Thank you.